to see you this afternoon. All right, let's turn to Galatians 6. Galatians 6. Thankful for the opportunity to preach, and thank you for that opportunity, Pastor. Never take it for granted. And I'll be honest with you, when Brother Jeremy and I first met when we were in Lubbock, it was they had a large staff there at the church, and so the opportunities to preach weren't always available. There was quite a few of us. What was there, like six of us or something on staff, I think, at that time. And so when it was finally your chance, you were sure excited for it. But I do want to say thank you so much to our pastor for giving me the opportunity to preach on a regular basis. And so thank you for that. But Galatians chapter number 6, as we think about bearing together, and I won't be dealing with much of the yoke fellow part, but as we look in Galatians 6, which we've kind of been there many times already today, but I'll remind you that the book of Galatians is a book about Christian liberty. Liberty is kind of like the right of way, if you'll let me expound on that. The right of way is to be given, not to be taken, right? You go to Walmart, you brave the elements of Walmart, and you're walking out of Walmart, and we're trying to teach Michael that though the pedestrians are supposed to have the right of way, right? We're supposed to, the right of way is given, not taken. That's how you get hit by a car. Right? Well, they were supposed to stop. Yeah, and now you got broken arms for it, right? And so when we think about the fact that Christian liberty is like the right of way, Christian liberty is to be given, not to be taken in this sense. Well, I'm a Christian and I'm saved. I can do whatever I want. Well, that should not be our attitude at all. That shouldn't be the attitude of the believer. The attitude of the believer should be this: hey, man, we want to be a blessing. God has done so much for us. I want to live for Him. And I want to do what He would have us to do and do it that way. So when we think about Galatians being a book about Christian liberty, yes, Christian liberty is to be given, but also it's not to be abused. Unfortunately, in our day and age, I think Christian liberty is abused, where it says, well, I'm saved, I know I'm going to heaven, and you don't need to worry about what I'm doing. Well, maybe not, I don't, but God sure cares, and He cares about what we're doing. And so when we think about Christian liberty, because Jesus liberated me from sin in salvation, how then should it affect me in my day-to-day life? That's what Galatians talks about a lot in different ways. And so how I'm supposed to live now in my day-to-day life, the reminder that we start with is that because we are saved, our day-to-day life should change. And I was lost and headed for hell, and I was rightly going. But now, because of salvation, that's not my destiny anymore. And my day-to-day living should change because of that. All right? So as we see that. Now, if we read our passage tonight, we are going to deal with Galatians 6, 1 through 5. And be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let's go, Lord, in prayer tonight. Lord, we thank you so much for your many blessings to us. And God, we are reminded, as Pastor mentioned today, God, that when we yoke up with you, God, your burden is light. God, I pray that you'd help us to be reminded of our ever need for you. God, we can't do this on our own. We can't do anything without you, Lord. And so I pray that you'd help us tonight. Help us to be reminded of that. And then, God, I do pray that you'd help us to seek to be a blessing one to another and to help. So I pray that you'd work in our service tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as I would like to say, usually because of when I'm a little under the weather, if anything sounds off, blame the Alka-Seltzer, all right? So if any, all right, that went over like a lead balloon, all right? But if it sounds off, let me maybe give me the opportunity to correct it sometime, all right? All right, but now as we come to Galatians 6, Paul reminds us of some of our responsibilities as believers. Verse number 1, where we started, we're reminded that we are saved, that we as saved believers are can be at times overtaken in a fault. Just because we're saved does not mean we're perfect. Does not mean we're sinless. Does not mean that we can't fail. And when we think about this word overtaken, I want to kind of define it a little bit and to be reminded that the word overtaken talks about surprised, kind of like sideswipe, right? Something that came out of almost seemingly nowhere, okay? So when a brethren is overtaken, when they're surprised in a fault, so we're talking about somebody who has sinned but has been overtaken. All right. Now, what that means is that we're not talking about somebody who's in deliberate disobedience. Okay. Deliberate disobedience would be this. If you remember, we're instructed that when somebody's unrepentant, at times when church discipline is placed or done because of unrepentance, what's the goal? The goal is that we give them over to Satan for the destruction of their flesh. Right. So we're talking about two different things here. So I want to be very clear that the unrepentant believer who are told, who we are told to deliver them over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that's not what we're talking about today, right? We're talking about somebody who was overtaken in a fault. It was out of character. It was different. It came out of almost seemingly nowhere, and that's a very important distinction. Now, this fault is a deviation from truth or righteousness, misdeed or sin. So we see, so as a saved person, as saved people, Paul is telling us to how to respond to fellow believers who've been surprised by temptation and, listen, have given into it or have deviated from the truth. How should we respond to that? When somebody does, we know that we're apt to fail, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, O take and seal. We all have that propensity to be tempted and that we can fail. And Paul's saying, hey, this is going to happen. There's going to be someone who's overtaken in a fault, and here's how we respond. Now, when that person wants to get that right, when they want to get the sin right, the people who are walking in the Spirit, listen, that's a very important detail, is that the people, the Christians who are walking in the Spirit will restore that person. When the person wants to get it right, the people who are walking in the Spirit will want to restore that person. Right? Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. Spiritual. Living in the Spirit, not in the flesh. We understand that even he deals with that a little bit later in this chapter, but he's dealt with it in chapter number 5 as well. That he's talking about, hey, we're not to be led by the Spirit. Verse 25 of the previous, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Listen, the goal of every Christian is that we should walk in the Spirit. And when we're walking in the Spirit and a brethren is overtaken in a fault, here's our goal. And we want to see him restored. We want to see restoration take place. We don't want to mock and gawk and say, well, man, I can't believe you did that. Hope you figure it out and leave them. No, the goal is restoration. So when the person wants to get it right, the people who are walking in the Spirit are not going to say, well, you blew it, but are going to say, hey, we want to restore that person. We want to make it back to where they're in right relationship with the Lord. They will seek to mend, listen, as a net or to restore as a broken bone. I haven't had a broken bone that I necessarily know of. We played hard as little kids. So we have all sorts of injuries. So who knows what all is going on everywhere. But at the same time, I've never had a broken bone that I know of. But I do understand the idea of that when a broken bone is going to heal, if it's going to heal properly, it's got to be set in place. That doesn't sound real fun. Not to me. Not to me at all. I've seen it. I've seen it when others have broken their arm. In particular, I remember we were watching my brother play football in Dalhart. They were playing against the Dalhart Wolverines. We hate them. All right. But anyways, they were playing against them, and Rowdy Thomas, he ended up, he was a guy who was tough, and he rode bulls and all sorts of stuff, but he went for a tackle, and the dude just snapped his arm in half on accident. And I remember as a kid watching this kid walk to the sideline with his arm facing the other way, and I'm like, that's not where the elbow's at, man. And I do know that in order for him to be mended, for him to be restored, it did have to be set back in place. Now, as spiritual folks, the goal is that we set back. As we think about the net, as a net, sure, it gets tears in it, and then the fish get out, you know, but then you got to mend it. You got to mend. Remember, that's what the disciples were doing when Jesus came and called them, right? They were mending their nets. They're making sure that it's in proper working order. So when we're spiritual, when we're walking in the Spirit, excuse me, the saved individual that walks in the Spirit will seek to help the erring brother or sister. We want to make that right. We want to set it back in place. We want to make sure that they're going the right direction. Now, why am I making such a big deal about a spiritual believer? Because here's what happens, is that the fleshly believer will condemn them and use them as a way of making themselves look better. Man, did you hear about what they did? Oh, man, I'm glad I never did that. Well, that's a fleshly believer. A fleshly believer rejoices when a saved person falls. Man, how would that even come to pass? Well, when we're not walking in the Spirit, when we're walking in the flesh, and something happens, somebody is overtaken in a fault, we're just like, wow, man, well, I guess I'm doing pretty good because I'm not doing that. I haven't murdered anybody today. That's a very low standard to hold yourself to. But do you understand the difference between a spiritual Christian? And here's the problem. We all can be either. If he's saying this is what a spiritual Christian does, it reminds us that, man, if I'm not a spiritual Christian, if I'm not walking in the Spirit, if I'm not walking after Christ, then I can be walking after the flesh, and my flesh is wicked. And my flesh can be happy. I hate to even say that. My flesh can rejoice in the fact that somebody else fell into sin, but not me. And what a shame that is. But that's why it's very important to remember that a Spirit-led Christian, somebody who is allowing Christ to live through them, they have a different response than somebody who's living according to their flesh. And Paul reminds us of this even in verse 26 of chapter 5. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So not being desirous of envy or vainglory, excuse me, of vainglory. And so he reminds us that so spiritual believers will respond with restoration. Why will they respond with restoration? Because in meekness, the spiritual believer restores. In meekness, what is meekness? Meekness is softness of temper, mildness, gentle, forbearance. Those are the words that describe meekness. Well, why will a spiritual Christian, why will they end up wanting to restore somebody in the spirit of meekness, in the spirit of kindness, of softness, of gentleness? Why is it? Why? Because they understand that it could be them just as easily. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Listen, we're all apt to fail. We're all apt to give in to temptation. And the spiritual Christian says this, hey man, I want to respond to you in meekness, understanding that that could have been me just as much as it was you. That I am tempted and I am tried and I can fail in those times of temptation. So because of that, I respond with gentleness, with meekness. Listen, I'm telling you, there are times where when a person is unrepentant, what they need is a good boot in the behind. All right, get it right. But what we're talking about is somebody who's been overtaken in a fault and they want to get it right. And here's how spiritual Christians respond. They say this, oh man, hey, we want you to be restored in kindness, in gentleness, in a softness of temper. Why? Because we understand it could have been me as well. And so that's how a spiritual Christian should respond. See the difference between how a spiritual Christian responds to a sudden giving in to temptation and how they want to help that person get right. Well, why does that have any... It's in the passage, so it continues on. But the difference between that and when a saved person is unrepentant, we understand, is that we got to treat it differently. But what makes the difference? It's the attitude of the overtaken. The person who's been overtaken in a fault, are they in an attitude of repentance? They want to get it right. Or are they in an attitude of, I don't care? And that makes a difference of how we should respond. When someone, again, we go to the fact that we should even pray that Satan can destroy their flesh for the purpose of getting right. If they're not going to listen to correction, then maybe God will have to use more dramatic manner. But the attitude of the overtaken makes a difference in how we spiritual Christians should respond. So Paul tells us the next response spiritual believers should have. That is to help fellow believers bear their burdens. So, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Listen, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. That is to help fellow believers bear their burdens. The believer's life will experience times of extra burdens. Now we'll deal with it, but this is when extra burdens come our way. When I was reminded of this, that the rain falls on the just and the unjust, right? That difficult times comes into our lives. And whether sometimes through our own fault, but then also many times just life brings us difficult. And so our response as spiritual Christians then should be that we want to help them bear those burdens. That we want to help them carry them. Now, what is it? Ultimately, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, as already mentioned. What is the law of Christ? Well, let's look at it. Galatians 5, verse number 13. The Bible says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another, for all that the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." That's the law of Christ, is that it takes a great deal of love to go to the erring brother and try to help them. It's out of a spirit of meekness, but with love. Many times, the reason why we don't help others bear their burdens is, as Pastor mentioned today, that we have a lack of love, a lack of concern, even for others. Now, what is a carnal Christian doing to themselves when they think it's beneath them to help bear people's burdens? Here's what it says in verse number three. "For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." He deceives themselves. They're lying to themselves. It is not a spiritual believer who snubs their nose at another believer who falls in their walk with Christ but desires to get it right. It's not a spiritual believer. A spiritual Christian, the desire is then to help them, to restore them, because, again, reminding themselves of their position, that they don't have it. I don't have it all together. "For if a man thinks himself to be something, well, man, I'd never fell into that fault, or I'd never come to that temptation." You really think you're something, aren't you? Right? But what are they doing to themselves? They're lying to themselves. They're deceiving themselves to think that, hey, man, it could be me. Well, no, I could never do that. Oh, apart from the grace of God, we're capable of anything. I heard it one time said that apart from the grace of God, we can make Hitler look like a pretty decent guy. That's true. Apart from the grace of God in our lives and us submitting ourselves to Him and following Him in our day-to-day life, we We've got to remember that we keep ourselves in a proper place, not lying to ourselves, thinking, man, I am somebody and I will never fall into that temptation, but reminding ourselves, hey, in meekness, I could also be tempted and I could fail as well. I wrote this. I don't know if you've seen it or not. I'm going to use the word infamous preacher. I'll put it that way. Who it's in an interview, said the reason why he needed whatever it was, a $60 million jet, was because all of the people who are on the plane are, man, they're just battling spiritually, and I've got it under control. That guy's an idiot. He's an idiot. Kenneth Copeland. Okay, anyways. But this guy, I mean, he's like, oh, I can't get on this plane with other people because they got their problems. But I'm a spiritual giant. You know what that says? You're unspiritual. You're unspiritual. Why? Because any of us could fall into temptation. Anybody could fail in times of temptation. So we need to be reminded of that. Now, verse 4 and 5, here's the deal. It almost looks like a contradiction. Verse 4, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for every man shall bear his own burden. That we are to test our work. Not in a comparison with others, right? The Bible talks about if we compare ourselves amongst ourselves, we are unwise, right? But what we need to do is, as a spiritual believer, we need to take inventory and compare our growth in our own life. What does that mean? It means that we should be growing in our day-to-day life. There should be growth. Hey, listen, nobody's going to reach perfection. We're going to see that in a minute. Nobody reaches perfection, but the goal is that I'm not struggling with the exact same things that I was struggling with 30 years ago. That there should be some growth. I understand. Hey, there's always going to be things that we're dealing with and that we're struggling with. But the goal is that every believer should be growing in their walk with Christ. So we take inventory. Let us prove our own work. Hey, I'm so thankful. No, I am not everything that I should be, but I'm thankful I'm not what I used to be. And as a believer, we should be making sure that we're taking time to take an inventory and say, God, I'm so thankful that you allowed some growth in this area of my life, or in this area of my life, or in this area of my life. And here's the problem. Many times we're not willing to take inventory of where we are. We're not willing to prove our own work. Sadly, because we know that we're not growing. That is the truth sometimes. Things that I was struggling with 10, 15, 20 years ago, still in the same struggle. Still trying to figure out this, or I'm still trying to figure out that. And the goal is that a spiritual believer is making progress in their walk with Christ. Hey, let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Hey, I'm so thankful that God's working in your life. I'm thankful for that. But here's what brings rejoicing in my life. Is that God is working in my life. That he's doing a work in me. And no, I'm not perfect. And yes, I struggle and have temptations. And sometimes I fail to those temptations. And all of that is true. But listen, we need to be rejoicing in the fact that God is working in our lives. It's growing us. That we're growing. Listen, when was the last time you went to a church service and at the end of that church service, you made a decision and your life changed? Well, maybe it was today. I hope so. Maybe it's been a while. But the goal is that we're continually growing in our walk with Christ. Now, verse 5 tells us that we have our own burdens to bear that no one else can help us with. You see, listen, verse number 2 tells us that there will be times where people need help with their burdens. Bear ye one another's burdens. Now, the word bear in verse number 2 is a different Greek word than it was in verse number 5, bear. And there's nothing wrong with it. This is exactly what the Bible says, bear. But to help us in our understanding with definition, verse number 2 talks about a heavy load, burden. But in verse number 5, the word burden here is that it's like a soldier's pack. You know what it is? It's their gear. It's the stuff that they have to carry. It's the stuff that they need on a daily basis. What does that mean? Listen, we all have burdens that we must carry ourselves. I try to tell this with the teenagers. Listen, teenager, you cannot always depend on your parents' walk with the Lord. You need to have your own walk with the Lord. And that's true. But listen, there are responsibilities and there are burdens that we all must bear on our own. In verse number 5, I wrote down some of the burdens that God has given me to carry. Listen, nobody can carry my responsibility to be a Christian. That's not your job. That's my job. It's my responsibility to be a Christian. It's my responsibility to be a man. It's my responsibility to be a husband. It's my responsibility to be a father. It's my responsibility to be a church member. It's my responsibility to be a tither. It's my responsibility to be a soul winner. It's my responsibility to be a prayer. It's my responsibility to be a Christian co-worker. Nobody else can carry those burdens. Those are mine that God has given me to carry. And so what it is listen, it's if you can think of it with me at this, it's almost like we have our backpack of stuff that we have to carry. They're our responsibilities. Listen, I've got to pray for myself. I've got to read my Bible myself. And yes, there are times that people come along and provoke us unto good works, and they should. But listen, it is our responsibility to carry some of these burdens. And the list could go on, but I can never help others, listen, when I'm still struggling with carrying my own responsibilities. If I'm struggling with my pack, I can never help others with their heavy loads. Why? Well, because I'm still struggling. Now, I know this is what we're talking about. This is what I was mentioned earlier. We are not talking about perfection. We will only reach that when we get to heaven. And I'm so thankful we get to lay down all of our burdens, right? That's why in the Old Testament, the Promised Land it's not a picture of heaven. Why? We ain't going to have no fights in heaven. There's not going to be giants to slay. There's not going to be burdens to carry. There's not going to be any of that when we get to heaven. But while we're here, we do have burdens. And yes, some of them will come along and will be extra heavy burdens that we will need help with. And what the spiritual Christian does is this. They say, let me help you carry that burden. Why can they be a help? Because they're taking seriously, making sure that their burdens that only they can carry are in their proper place. Think I don't know. Every once in a while I still struggle with the fact that I'm not a kid anymore. I know. Some of you are like, oh, you think. All right. But I'm talking about when I think of spiritual giants, when I think of people who are walking with the Lord, having a spiritual walk with Him, I just kind of stop and be like, wow, that's incredible. And the fact that they're walking with the Lord, and it seems like they're always the right kind of help at the right time. And they just show up and they're a blessing and they're a help. And sometimes I'm like, man, when I grow up, you is grown up, all right? But listen, I think of saved individuals who have come into my life, and it seems like, ready? It seems like they just have it all together. Now, they'll tell you something different. But it seems like they have it all put together. And I know that the struggle is there. They struggle just like all of us. That they have temptation. They can be overtaken in temptations. They can be overtaken in faults. They can head in the wrong direction for a minute. That can happen to any of us. But listen, we know the difference between somebody who's got it put together and somebody who's struggling. And many times, the effectiveness of somebody who you just look at him and you say, man, you ain't got it together. And they desire to be a help. And they mean that from the bottom of their heart. But they can't. They're just not effective. And I've said this before, but you know, parenting is tough. It's hard. And I sure don't ever claim to have it figured out with that kid. Sometimes I want to pull my, look, it's almost gone. Got a haircut this week, and I was like, oh, there's not much up there, is there? And she's like, well, I don't know, I've never seen you before. I'm telling you, there used to be a lot more. It's tough. It's tough. And sometimes the ones that want to give me the most advice are ones that I'm like, have you seen your kid? Your kid is a mess. I'm just using that as an illustration. Listen, we desire to be a help. Carrying some heavy load. It's not just the normal responsibility. Got hit with some extra heavy loads right now. We desire to be a help. We desire to go along our brother or our sister and say, hey, we want to be a help. But here's how we can be an effective help. That with God's help, we make sure that the responsibilities that God has given to me, that I'm trying to be faithful, do those responsibilities. When I do that, it's the same thing as the airplane. We've heard it 1,000 times. In case of a loss of pressure in the cabin, air mask will fall from the overhead vent. Now, if you're traveling with a child or someone with special needs, please make sure you put your mask on first and assist somebody else. The truth is, we want to be a help. We desire to be a burden bearer, somebody who comes along with a brother or a sister, helps them carry that burden. But in order to be an effective burden bearer, again, with God's help, we need to be making sure that we're carrying our load. With God's help. You see, it's like this. I don't know if you're like this, but I like to carry all the groceries in one trip. Love it. I hate it when we go to Walmart. And I'm already in the cart. I'm putting all the bags in here. I'm like, this is three trips. Come on. This is three trips. I want it to be one. One. Why? Well, because I've put everything in my arms, you know. Man, I got some Dr. Pepper. So I got a 12-pack of Dr. Pepper in one hand and got 32 bags in the other hand. And I remember, oh, man, I can do this no problem. And I forget, I got to open the door. Oh, I forgot. I got to open the door somehow. And I'm having to call somebody. Can you open the door? I know. I am 38 years old and been opening doors for like at least 36 of those years. But I can't even open the door right now because I decided to carry all 42 bags at the same time. So it's like this. I'm going to come alongside of a believer, and I want to help them carry the load. I want to help them. And got some extra burdens right now. I want to be a help. But it's like as if I'm walking up to them. It's like as if I'm walking up to them with all of these bags from Walmart in all my hand. And I'm saying, oh, let me try and help you. Make sure that my life is right. And again, please understand, I'm not talking about any sort of perfection. I always think it's a joke. When somebody comes to me and they tell me something, and I'm like, it's my unspirituality. They come to me and they tell me something that I'm doing wrong. I look at them and say, have you looked in the mirror lately? And it's just not as effective. It's not as much of a help. And the desire is this, that we help each other bear our burdens and bear the burdens that do come, the extra heavy ones that come our way. And the way to be prepared is to make sure that I'm living a life is pleasing to the Lord, so that I can be a help to others. I can help them carry their burdens. I can be a blessing. And just for clarity, we're not talking about perfection. We're talking about making sure in our day-to-day living, we're trying to live according to God's will. I'm trying to walk in the Spirit. I'm trying to bear one another's burdens. How? Well, so I can fulfill the law of Christ. What is that? I can love one another. Yeah. Be a blessing. Take an inventory. Take an inventory. Are you growing? Are you growing? And I hope so. I hope so that for my own life, my growing, my personal walk with the Lord, so I can be right with the Lord, but so that I can be an effective helper of others as well. Lord, we thank you so much for your many blessings to us. And I pray that you'd help us. God, I pray that you'd help us to take seriously our own responsibilities that you've given to us, that nobody else can bear for us, that we have to do, that we have to carry. But God, help us to do it in such a way that we are able to be used by you to be a help, and a burden bearer to others. God, I pray that you'd work in every heart and life. As we stand to our feet and as the music begins to play,